Would you turn in your Bibles, please, to the book of Hebrews, chapter 10. Hebrews 10. Thank you, Jean Marie. That's so good. I mean, you know, the Spirit of God, we come and feed on the Lamb. Feed on the reality of love. When I think of the Last Supper, Pastor Love mentioned it, when Christ taught the disciples to eat my body and drink my blood. In a way, he was opening their hearts, opening the hearts of people. Because people are complicated and kind of funny, you know. People are, let's park there for a second. People are complicated and kind of funny, okay? We close our hearts. We defend ourselves. We say, I never swear at work, and I hope you don't. I don't. We had a brother here in our come. I don't know if he's coming still, but you know he because I swore in a message. I said damn, you know, in a message, and I don't know his background. I don't know why, but you know he thinks I swear. You know, and I said I met him privately. I don't swear. I don't swear at home. I don't swear in traffic. I don't swear. You know, but somehow that thing got his attention. That's not really why I mentioned it this morning, because what I said this morning had to do with something I was reading. And I talked to Rhonda Lewis yesterday, and he said at work that he gets to know the guys, and they go, we're just waiting for you to say the F-bomb. You know, would you say that sometime? He goes, I don't swear. Okay. Proverbs 10, verse 20. God has given me the tongue, a tongue of silver. I have a new tongue. Mark 16. Okay. But we fail. But Christ, at the Last Supper, was speaking to his disciples, and their hearts were open, not defensive, but they were being ministered to. And in the Holy Spirit of God, in God's house, where the holiness of God is, we drink the same Spirit, and we think the same thoughts, and we are edified in truth, and we discover love. Love, that's our subject today. So, praise God. Father, we pray you bless this sermon this morning. I think we are searching in our hearts today, loving you, relating to you, encouraged by you. Holy Spirit of God, we praise you, God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Thank you, God, for the play, the preparation for the play. In 1 week or so, 9 days, for friends, relatives, neighbors to come and hear Christ preached and manifested on this stage before their eyes and hearts. Open hearts, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. The first thing that I want to mention, Hebrews chapter 10, we will go through this. There's a lot of verses here, but I would love to spend more time, but I just want to say a few things. Yeah, the first one is in Hebrews chapter 10 in verse 4. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. We read in the Psalm 55, that God said that I don't need your sacrifices. If I was hungry, would I ask you? What a great statement. God is saying, if I was hungry, would I ask you? If I needed love, would I ask you? If I needed wisdom, would I ask you? If I needed worship, would I ask you? There's a theological term for this. It's aseity. It means God is the necessary being. He is the one that is, and he needs nothing. Nothing can be added to him. He has existence, infinite in his nature and sufficiency. Altogether perfect, needing nothing. If all of the universe disappeared like this in a second, God has lost nothing. He cannot lose glory. He cannot lose purpose. He cannot lose his love. He is infinitely perfect. And the only reason why we are here today is because in his wisdom, he designed it, desires it, but he doesn't need it. He is completely satisfied in himself. So verse 4, it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he comes into the world, he says, sacrifice and offering, you would not, meaning God would not need it, but a body hast thou prepared me. God prepared Christ. And Christ had a physical body. Not bulls and goats, but a human being, Messiah, the Savior. That's what's needed. That God would become a man, and that man would be here with blood in his body. The Lamb of God that would take away the sins of the world. The Lamb of God that would open our hearts. You know, whenever you open your heart, you are vulnerable. When you open your heart, you are prone to being injured. You can hurt me. That's why we don't open our hearts. We may not want to belong to a church because the church might hurt me. I might not want to get married because the woman may hurt me or the man may hurt me. I may not want to have children because the children may one day disappoint me or hurt me. I may not want to have a friend because my friend may tell me something that will hurt me. So I can be closed and cold and without love. And operate like a machine. Sometimes I have met people like this on the mission field. They may know many languages, may be highly educated, may know philosophy and religion very well, but they are closed people. They don't want to be hurt. But God, in his wisdom, knowing the nature of man, needed to come and express love. How could there be any greater expression than the victim hanging with hands nailed? I cannot hurt you with my hands because my hands are nailed. I cannot kick at you and hurt you with my feet because they are nailed. I cannot come down from the cross because I love you, and I will be a victim, a living sacrifice. Animal sacrifices could never do this, but the Son of God could do this. He could limit himself and become a Lamb of God, an animal that has no defense. You can push it over. A child could push a lamb over, can take a leg and pull it and put it down. A lamb cannot protect itself. And God showing us his humility and his weakness and his love has captured our hearts. There's an interesting point about the Trinity. One theologian in the 12th century said, if God was only one, then who would he love? If God is a person and God was one, who would he love? So there must be two. He must love someone, and that is Christ, who is God. And God the Father loves the Son, and the Son loves the Father. But he said, even that is not enough, because two can be totally consumed with each other and infatuated with each other, that there's nobody included. So the Holy Spirit is the love, and the Holy Spirit is the one that is in the universe to include the universe in God. This is deep, but it's beautiful. It means God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are love, and they are one. They are God. But God's love is not excluding. God's love is searching to include. Come on in the circle. I once shared with a brother, I go, you know, your circle is a beautiful circle of great people, and they are precious people and spirit-filled people and wise people, but you have to draw your circle larger for the weaker people, for the outcast. Draw the circle larger to include more, include others, the imperfect, the failure, the guy that messes up, the guy that is ugly, the guy that is foolish, the guy that has got deep problems. This is God's Spirit. God's Spirit is in the world to draw and to reprove and correct and heal and restore. And this is God reaching out to the fallen world of sinful people, us. But there has to be blood that would atone for our sin. There has to be blood shed in order for our sins to be forgiven and made holy, because God is a holy God. I think if we were God, we would never include ourselves in the picture. It's a paradox, isn't it? It's like, what was it, Groucho Marx said, I would never belong to a club that accepted me as a member. It's kind of true. Why would the Trinity accept us? Why would the Trinity say they are accepted? They are accepted in the Beloved. It's kind of true. How could we ever be redeemed, reconciled to a holy God, except for his love? And it couldn't be the blood of bulls and goats, but it had to be a body as you prepared me, verse 5. Thanks for keeping that up there. A body have you prepared me. A body, Jesus' physical body, a body of obedience. A body that would walk over here. Grant, great to see you. Grant Sutton is here. It's amazing. Grant Sutton is here from the Ukraine. Wow, that guy. Okay, all right, that's enough of that. Now listen. A body that would walk over here, hands that would touch, were a tongue that would speak, ears that would hear, eyes that would see. God needed a body on the earth that would be extraordinary, exceptional. Next verse 6, please. We're going through a number of them. So verse 6. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you have had no pleasure. I felt that in my own heart. God, I'm going to pray to you. There's two ways thinking about that. God, I'm going to pray to you. And then like, God, I'm praying to you. And God says, you know, you can keep your prayers to yourself. I mean, your prayers are nothing. You know that too, right? I go, yes, Lord. My prayers are nothing. I don't have a heart for it. I don't have a desire for it. It's just a religious formality. I pray in a form. That's all. You know that, God. I know that. I agree with you. Amen. He goes, amen. Let's have a party now. You understand that? Okay, let's go to the next one. 7. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book that is written to me. Here we go. The volume of the book. Right there. There it is in my hand. It's written of me in a book. One book, 66 books are in this one book, and it's all about Christ. Everything about it. We were in Kentucky Saturday. We went to see the Ark of Noah, the duplication or reproduction of the actual Ark. It was a phenomenal experience. We maybe 4 hours there reading, going through the exhibits. It was extraordinary experience for me as we are thinking about that actually happened and who Noah was and what he actually did. It was remarkable. And a striking thing that the human race did not know, did not have the gospel, did not understand or know. The ark saved 8 people, but Christ came and he has saved billions because he was obedient. He was holy, anointed, effective, and he is today. He is effective. Pastor Bob Schwartz and I, he's the pastor in Greater Grace in Cincinnati, and Friday we went to Xavier University, a Catholic university, and we went on the campus, and first just to be on the campus and look for divine appointments and to share. And first we went into the student center, and first man we met, he said, would you like to come to our play? We said, what is the play about? He said, it's about a man looking for love. And we thought, wow, that's a opening line for us. Did he find the love? No, in the play he didn't. He didn't know where to go. He didn't know how to get it. So Pastor Bob talked with him for half hour and led him to the Lord. Divine appointment. I didn't have that fortune in the beginning of my time there, but I was there and ate a sandwich and had a coffee and looking around, everybody's on their computers and phones, and I'm the old guy sitting over in the corner eating a sandwich like normal people. But I went outside. I saw this young man go in. And I go, I think that's a guy that I could talk to, but he's gone. So I sat in a chair outside. And sure enough, in 10 minutes, he comes out. And I go, hey, do you want to talk? He goes, yeah, sure. I go, what's your major? Philosophy. I said, do you want to talk, really? He goes, yeah. Then about an hour or two later, we went to another university campus in Cincinnati. It's the University of Cincinnati to do the same thing. It was so much fun because I stopped a guy. I go, you want to talk? He goes, yes. I go, I want to talk about God. He goes, that's why I wanted to talk to you. Guys, I'm a believer, and I want to talk about God. I go, wow. I said, you can move on now. You know what? If you go back to that previous, the verse, is it 6? No, 5. There's a double meaning in that word body. There's Jesus' body when he first came, and then there is his body that is sitting here in this room. We are the body of Christ. We are members of his flesh, of his bones in Ephesians 5. And God doesn't care about the animals that bleed. He cares about us that are his body, and we bring pleasure to him because we've been included in the Trinity. That is shocking, that Christ dwells in us and we dwell in him. That we are included by the Holy Spirit into the mystery of the Godhead. And that this body that is on the earth, what does it do? He has prepared it. Then he has prepared this body to bring him pleasure. Because our hearts are open to love. He loves us, and we love him. And if this happens, this love that is in us, and we are a loving God, then we also may be like that over there on the cross. And that's like, it's suffering. But love can suffer. Love can say, I see the bigger picture here. Love is saying, I delight in God's will. And even if God's will is making me, I am vulnerable to his love. And so now we are saying, in a way, we almost are shocked that we are even willing to say this. I love you so much that I am not that important here. I want your world, not mine. I would like your way, not mine. I want your heart, your love. I would like your love in my life so that my life would be bigger than myself. This is bringing God great pleasure that we would even think like that. So, go to the next one here, verse. We could go to verse 9. Then said he, lo, I come to do your will, O God. He takes away the first covenant, and that he may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. He has offered himself once for all. What is it? Once for all what? Once for all people. He came once for all sin, past sin, present sin, future sin once for all time. He will never come again that way to do this again. He will not die again. He died once and it's over. Now, there is no more sacrifice to be offered up. That's enough. It's once for all. We just relate to him. And when I sin, I confess and recognize that the blood of Jesus is enough to cover all my sin. When I fail, I come to Christ and believe that he is the answer for my failure. When I am troubled in my heart, I come before Christ in my heart in submission to him in my heart and believing that God's Spirit is not a confused spirit, not a fearful spirit, not a proud spirit, arrogant spirit, confused or divisive spirit. But the Spirit is the Spirit of God. God is never angry with himself. God is never divided in himself. He never has an argument with himself. He never loses power or energy because of internal confusion. He is never jealous of himself or angry with himself. There's never any fight in God, in the Trinity, in any way. Holy Spirit, Father, and Son. No way there is anything. And we have been included into a fellowship where the internal conflicts that we have as people are now, we are filled with the Spirit. We are bringing it before Jesus. We say, Jesus, I've been lying to you. I have hypocrisy in my heart. God is saying, I know, and I love you. You are crucified in Christ and raised with him. And I fill you with my Spirit. And the truth searches all the deep parts of your heart and your life. And you find this unity that produces boldness. Let me read this part to you. There were two Moravians. This is 18th century missions. And they saw, where was this? This is in a leper colony. They were dying of a foul disease by hundreds. The two Moravian missionaries, and Moravian missionaries were, and the movement was incredible. They built their own ships to go to mission fields, South Africa, West Indies, even Greenland. They went to China many times. They would go just to preach the gospel and lose their lives. They saw this leper colony, and they said, we will go and preach the gospel to them. But they said, if you go in, it's, in the south of Africa, there were a place of lepers in which persons afflicted with leprosy were driven. There was a tract of country surrounded by high mountains, and they could not get out but by one gate. And certain Moravians looked over the wall and saw two men, one whose arms had rotted off with leprosy, was carrying on his back another who had lost his legs. Between the two, they were making holes in the ground and planting seeds. They thought, we must go and preach the gospel. But they said, if you go in, you can never come out. There you will die of leprosy too. They went in and never did come out till they went home to heaven. They died for others, for the love of Jesus. Two others of these holy men went to the West Indian Islands, where there was an estate to which a man could not go to preach the gospel unless he was a slave. These two men sold themselves for slaves to work as others worked, that they might tell their fellow slaves the gospel. And these two illustrations are from Charles Spurgeon in one of his messages. And when I was reading that, I was thinking of this picture of the Trinity, that the Holy Spirit is in us to include. The Holy Spirit sends us into a lost world. The Holy Spirit leads us to forgive. The Holy Spirit leads us in healthy, holy living. This is what God has pleasure in. And this is it. At the Last Supper, when Jesus said, "Eat my flesh, drink my blood," I think he knew this. Of course he did. This work that would happen through these millennium, and that is happening in our hearts today, where we are saying in our hearts, there is no sin so great that cannot be forgiven. There is no sinner that is so great a sinner that he could not be saved. There is no evil that is in the world that could not be loved. There is not any forgiveness that is too great that could overdo it. For how could we ever compare what God has done for us by coming here himself and doing this great work? And on top of it, and this is the good part, this same work is happening today with us. It's the same spirit. It's the same mind. It's the same heart. It's the same mission. It's for the same glory. And it glorifies God. And when we were at the Noah's Ark the other day, and then thinking about it, and thinking about the coming kingdom of God, that it's going to really happen one day. The kingdom is coming. Jesus is coming. And we are those that belong to him. And Enoch, the seventh from Noah, prophesied that Christ, God, will come with 10,000s of his saints. That will happen for sure. Wow. Amen. Father, we thank you this morning that your Holy Spirit in us has opened our hearts so that we can love and even suffer. Love suffers because of the open heart. We suffer too. But it's okay. I would rather suffer and be with love than to be without love and not suffer at all. And anyone here this morning, hearing my voice, would believe in Christ. Come to Jesus. Believe in him. You are born of the Spirit. You are born again. And repent of your way. Learn to live by faith. The Spirit will fill you. He redeems you. He saves you. He anoints you. He forgives you. He saves you. Come to Jesus today. Right now, believe in him. In Jesus' name, say, "Jesus, I believe." And raise your hand, please, here in the auditorium. Raise your hand and say yes to Jesus. Anyone at all, yes to Jesus. Father, we thank you for our fellowship. We pray for the play next week. Lord, the actors, actresses, the message of the play, the manifestation of your Spirit every night, Tuesday night, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday night, that your message would go to hearts. In Christ's name we pray. And may we get signs on our lawn and tracts in our hands and go out and share this message to advertise the play and breathe on it, Lord. Breathe on it and do it. In Christ's name, amen.